Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. I'm in the middle of my Yom Kippur because I choose to put my 7th month here because I choose to mirror the seasons in Africa. So I switch my calendar around to mirror the Holy Land because I know that is the Holy Land. And so I can answer a listener who wanted to know when the Pesach was. If you so choose, you can do the Pesach. September is when I do it because September is spring in Southern Africa because that's where the biblical lands are. And I've demonstrated this countless times by maps that I've seen, by the Southern place, the Southern African Place Names Dictionary. I've seen so many biblical towns in that area, and they give the same excuse of a missionary being there, and this missionary happens to be there in the 1800s. If you know anything about the Zulus or the war between the Zulus and the British were already in there. They already came down to Southern Africa. They knew where the biblical lands were. They knew it. They knew where real Bethlehem is. They knew where real Yerushalayim is. And what they attempted to do was to set up shop so you couldn't know that this was the real biblical lands. Yet, they made mistakes with the map makings or the cartographers on David Rumsey's map collection, map makers who were living 100 to 200, even 300 years apart from each other, were placing biblical names on mountains, on towns, on locations, and there's no way they could have known that without being all together with this. So if you think it was it's a hoax or it's a fake, let me reiterate, there's no way in the world that these cartographers would have known these were the biblical towns if they all lived 100 to 200, even 300 years away from each other and were all planting biblical towns in the correct distance, because I've checked it with scripture, in the correct distances from each other. There's a town called Windisorten, which it says the original name of it was Hebron. Oh no, right, Hebron. They said that's the original name. And it changed it to Windisorten. And Windisorten is like in the middle of Southern Africa. And if you look up Hebron or the travels of Abram and Yasharel, it would show you the distance between Yerushalayim in the middle of his Hebron and where else they went and trailed throughout that land. But that's if you want to do your research and if you want to find the land yourself. I think it's important for you to search. If you don't want to search, you can do your Pesach in March. If you're more comfortable with the Northern Hemisphere and what everybody else is doing by moving the calendar to March, and you can do what is not said to do in biblical definition of a new year was to do the 7-day theory. If you do the 7-day theory at March, that means your Shabbats, regardless of the moon, your Shabbats are going to be on Friday and Saturday. You're going to be doing Friday evening to Saturday evening, which is not biblical. Or if you even try to change it up and just do Saturday morning to Saturday evening, you still won't be correct because the beginning of your calendar is based off the 7-day creation. I think people are confused with evening to morning, evening to morning. If you go through enough scripture, and if you see how the Most High asked the Israelites to offer to him, especially when it came to these feast days and Shabbats, they were supposed to offer two lambs continually during one of these ordinances. Now, he don't say, offer me the lamb evening and then morning. He starts off by saying, offer me two lambs a day. And he starts off with morning and evening. See, you have to go through enough scripture and you have to see what the Most High is actually talking about. I think people are thrown off with this whole evening and morning and say, okay, evening to evening is the first day. So we're starting our day at evening and carrying it on to the next evening. That's the second day, getting ready to start. I'm not going to over explain it to you because I'm going to lose people. So that's what I'm doing. I'm doing my Pesach on September. And that's why I'm on the 7th month right now, which is kind of funny because there's a coincidence the fact that I'm doing the Yom Kippur and the Roman Catholic Church and Islam is about to do Ramadan, or if they're in the middle of Ramadan, and the Roman Catholic Church are doing they're doing Ash Wednesdays, or they're getting ready for their little Day of Atonement or whatever it is. And it's kind of funny that it's mirroring the true, for me, the true Yom Kippur, which is the fasting and prayer. They're getting ready for leading up to their Holy Week is leading up to March, because that's where they do, I think it's what, the third day, the third year of March, I mean the third week of March or whatever, or whatever they're preparing for Easter or whatever. And some of you are getting ready to prepare for your Pesach. So you either on the 10th, 11th, or 12th month, getting ready to do the 7-day creation theory story, and then you're starting off your Pesach in March or April. So if you wanted to wait all the way to March and April, you more than willing to do so. I think this is going to be my last year of posting the calendars. I think Pesach is going to be my last year, my last feast day or last month. I'm going to post the calendar on the Sight to the Blind podcast. That's what I'm doing. I'm just going to focus on what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing is correct, and I get tired of arguing with people in the comment section. I don't argue anyway, but I get tired of people trying to usurp what the Most High has shown me. Now, a lot of people will say, well, the Most High showed me this. Yahuwah told me to say this. Yahusha said to do this. That's a slippery slope. Not once have you truly had me hear me say over and over again that Yahuwah has told me to say this. Yahusha told me to say this. I'm just showing you with the information that the Most High has exposed to me. He manifested this information for me. And I've given you chapter and verse, all the verses that I've seen, that the moon is supposed to be added into the calendar. And people who have their calendars set at March and April, they are not following the new moon because they believe, through whatever translation they've heard, that it was mistranslated for month. I talked about this last episode. Enoch 80, verses 5 through 7. In those days, the fruits of the earth shall be late and not flourish in their season. Now, do any of you got fruit trees in the backyard? Do any of you got, mango trees, cherry trees, orange trees, lemon trees, pineapple trees, banana trees? Do any of you got trees in your backyard to be able to check this with scripture? I do. I got banana trees. I got two mango trees. One is the green mango, and the other one's like the reddish orange mango that I got. And I got coconut trees. That's what's in my backyard. And I'm watching them now. They're out of season. I had a little blossoming of my reddish orange mango trees. Some of them sprouted and they didn't get full size and they just dropped off. So I'm watching if my fruit comes in due season. Now, the mango trees down here in Florida, they don't really start going until around April or May. So maybe they'll come back, but I didn't have a great harvest last year. Because of the weather or because of the seasons were off, they would sprout when the times were where it was cold here, when it shouldn't have been cold, and they weren't allowed to come to the fullness of the ripeness of their fruit. But the green tree was able to produce a little bit more than my reddish orange trees or reddish orange mango trees. So I'm watching if this goes along with scripture. That's what I'm doing. And in their season, the fruits of the trees shall be withheld. Again, that backs up why I'm getting my fruit trees on a season, off a season, on a season, off a season. So I'm trying to figure out if I'm truly on point with what scripture states, and especially when it comes to the calendar. The moon shall change its laws. I repeat, the moon shall change its laws and not be seen at its proper period. So that means the moon is going to come in 10 days too soon, which backs up what's been said in Jubilees. I want to say Jubilees chapter 6. But in those days shall heaven be seen and barrenness Barrenness shall take place in the borders of the great chariots in the west. It shall shine more than the orders of light, while many chief among the stars of authority shall err, perverting their ways and works. So it's saying that wickedness is going to be rising so high that we've read in scripture how the Most High says that the wickedness and sin and the blood that cries out unto me reaches to the highest of heaven. So imagine the wickedness and the innocent blood that's shed on this earth reaches up to where these angels that conduct the luminaries and conduct the stars, they start eventually err because of all the wickedness. Maybe over time, it affects them. So they pervert their ways and works. So everything will be corrupted. Remember, there's angels trapped down here. And there's angels that are in authority of luminaries, stars, and the movements thereof. Those shall not appear in their season who commanded them, and all the classes of the stars shall be shut up against sinners. This also goes to prophecy when the Most High says, I'm going to darken the sun, darken the moon, and you won't be able to see the stars. Or they say stars will fall from the heavens. This has all been said in Enoch. From the beginning into the end, it's all through Enoch. And of course, the scriptures validate that in the Old and New Testaments. So while y'all out here doing this 7-day theory, trying to fit 364 days in your calendar in March and April, and you're mirroring the Northern Hemisphere and not the hemisphere of the true biblical lands, how can you say you're going to understand and know when the Most High comes back and Yahushua comes back and the 144,000 comes back and when the Most High truly gets going if you're stuck on a calendar that's not even mirroring the biblical lands, especially when it says in Kings that if your people pray towards your land? So what have you been praying? What's the direction you've been praying towards? Are you just getting in your closet or are you praying and you just praying anywhere? You praying towards Canada, you praying towards Europe, you praying towards that fake land, you praying towards South America. Where are you praying towards? If you are Yasharel, it does say, if your people repent of their sins, seek your face and pray towards your land, you will hear them. Do y'all not want to be heard? I'm not saying he's not hearing you because you're not praying in that direction. I'm simply saying, when you are obedient and you try to do all the things that the Israelites did that made them closer to the Most High Yahuwah, why wouldn't you want to do them? I'm going to bring up this analogy again because I brought it up last episode. I think it's funny that out of all the Thanksgivings, out of all the Christmases, out of all the New Years, out of all the Easters, not once did we stop ourselves and say, why do we have to get the biggest Christmas tree? Why do we have to get these ornaments? But we made sure we had ornaments. We made sure we had tinsels. And we know that the tree and the festivals come from Babylon and Rome and Greece. Not once did we say, we're not Roman. We're not Grecian. We're not Babylonian. Why are we doing this? Not once did we say, we didn't question it. Same thing with Thanksgiving. We didn't say, damn, we're not Native Americans. We're not pilgrims. Why are we doing this? Why are we getting turkey? Why is turkey the thing? Why are we not getting chicken? Why not steak? Why we keep doing turkey? Why we keep stuffing it? We never question the ordinances of these feast days. We get to Easter or New Year's. And New Year's came from Babylon. It came from Egypt. Not once did we say, we're not Egyptian. We're not Babylonian. Why are we waiting for a clock to hit 12? Why are we doing this? Why don't we do New Year's at 11:45 or 12:45 or 4 o'clock in the morning? Why are we waiting till the countdown at 12? We didn't question this. We did it. Easter. Why don't our parents take us to go pick out a light colored suit? Because we're always in like light colored or floral patterns when it comes to going to church for Easter. None of us were worshiping Ishtar. We didn't say we were Babylonian. We didn't say we were Roman. We didn't say we were Grecian. We didn't stop and say, okay, why are we hunting for eggs? Why do we need to get eggs and color them? Why are we getting the little plastic eggs and putting chocolate in them and hiding them from our children or participate in egg hunts? We didn't question it. These ordinances, these statutes, we just did them. So why all of a sudden now when we get to coming back to our heritage, our bloodline, do we have so many questions questioning the Most High Yahuwah? His ways, his translations, his statutes, his ordinances. Because that's all I hear. People going at each other in the comment sections. Oh, why is he doing something that's for the Levites to do? Why is he doing this ordinance? Oh, it's a mistranslation from month to new moon. Why are we doing it? Like, y'all didn't question none of this nonsense when you were in this world. Didn't question none of it. You accepted it as tradition. But we get to the real truth, the real meat of actually proving our salvation and proving our faith, we come with excuses. I'm not going to be here on long because after a while, I feel what Yahusha and what David was feeling when they said, the zeal of your house has eaten me up. It's going to cause me to be bitter on doing these episodes. Because instead of just doing them and talking about how we can get better at doing them and worship and praising, they're met with, I don't want to do it. I don't have time to do it. I don't have the finances to do it. But when it comes to doing what you want to do, y'all defend yourselves. So whatever scenario I bring up on this show, I'm not talking about you. So don't email me or text me like, oh, trying to defend yourself about the things you've got going on. I am not Yahuwah. You're not going to convince me of anything because I don't care. If that's what you want to do, if your thing is to go to another country, go to another country. I'm just telling you what happened to the Israelites, specifically the tribe of Ephraim, when they left out of captivity too early and they got destroyed for it. I know a brother and a sister who went over there to Ghana already, and they was doing videos about how it was horrible for them, how they weren't truly prepared to go anywhere, that they shouldn't have gone. And the only reason why they went is because the 2018-2019, the trying season of COVID, they got scared and they went over there. They thought it was all downhill from there. So they didn't want to be in America no more. So that's why they ended up going there. And they ended up facing the same troubles there than they would here anyway. Except now they don't really know the language over there, and they're getting taken advantage of because they're falsifying what you need because they know you don't speak the language. So they know they're trying to get more out of you over there than their own people. So if you tried to go into a store, this is coming from them. They said they would go into stores and it'd be charged. They would be purposely charged more than the citizens there because they knew they didn't understand the language. And they knew that the dollar is a little bit more of worth in that country than their currency. That's all I'm saying. That's the story I was using. Don't email me trying to defend yourself. I don't care. Do what you want to do. It's for you. You can convince yourself it's for y'all, but it's for you. If he says go over there, who am I to speak against it? I'm just simply saying, if y'all have the audacity to want to jump and run, I'm telling you, it's going to get worse here. It's going to get worse all over. No matter where you go, it's going to be worse. It doesn't matter where you go. It's going to be worse. That's what I'm saying. If you have the means to make more money somewhere else, peace and love to you for it. But eventually, we all going to meet some type of trial and tribulation. I'd rather meet my trial and tribulation around a comfortable environment. Because you go to another country, you've seen what those coups do in Africa. You've seen what the military and people who just say they want to go against the government or go against something. You've seen who's been working behind the scenes of these little coup factions that pop up out of nowhere and start slaughtering villages wherever they go. That Boko Haram or whatever his name was, how he became a thing. And now Abraham Toure, he's just another managed puppet. Then you got Russia in the same region. You got Israel in the same region. They working on something. Why? Because they know where the real biblical lands are. They know where the real resources are. You got four or five continents trying to convince you why they need to go into Africa. It all starts with Africa. It'll all end in Africa. But I'm more concerned of the ordinance and statutes of Yahuwah. Revelation 3, 18 through 22. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Ruach says unto the called out assemblies. Whatever assembly that you are a part of, either you're part of the lukewarm assembly, or the assembly that has forgotten their first love, or the assembly that's doing everything right and hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans, or like the Nicolaitans, the lukewarmness doctrine. Whatever you're part of, you will have to overcome. But he says, be zealous. He don't say be half-assed. He don't say be lukewarm. He don't say be cold. You need to be zealous. Just as he was zealous for the house of his father. When he says, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. That's through trials. That's through tribulations. That's what we were talking about the whole time with Abraham and the difference between Abraham and Job. Abraham did all his trials and tribulations without complaining. Job did his trials and tribulations with complaining. I saw a verse a chapter in Lamentation, because since I'm in Yom Kippur, I wanted to see how Israelites poured out their heart in Lamentations. And it was funny, I came across Lamentations 3, 22 through 33, and then I'm going to do 40 through 44. It is of Yahuwah's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Yahuwah is my portion, says my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Yahuwah is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the Yeshua of Yahuwah. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sits alone and keeps silence, because he has borne it upon him. He puts his mouth in the dust. If so be there may be hope. He gives his cheek to him that smites him. He is filled full with reproach. For Adonai will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. Let us search and try our ways, and turn again to Yahuwah. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto El in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. You have not pardoned. You have covered with anger and persecuted us. You have slain. You have not pitied. You have covered yourself with a cloud that our prayer should not pass through. Disobedience hinders your prayers. There's not no gloom and doom speech, but I'm just telling you, whatever worked for them, I'm going to do. Whatever didn't work for them, I'm trying not to do. Donald Trump said in his State of the Union speech, as time goes by, I believe that tariffs paid for by foreign countries will, like in the past, substantially replace the modern day system of income tax, taking a great financial burden off the people that I love. Everybody stands up and applauds. If you go through history, there has not been one time where tariffs have replaced the income tax. Never. Never, ever, ever. So basically what he's saying is he's paying you for nothing. He's paying you with your own money. When you do income tax, you get a check back, right? You're paying the government and they paying you with your own money. After the money already take out of state and all the other taxes they take from you. If you don't know anything about the 16th Amendment, which is the Federal Income Tax Amendment, it was not ratified by several states in 1913, with notable rejections or non-actions from Connecticut, Rhode Island, Utah, Florida, and it says other states, including Virginia, Pennsylvania, did not complete the ratification process. Some records also suggest issues with ratification in Oregon, Vermont, and it says in others. Now, this is the other side of the AI information. Claims that the 16th Amendment was not properly ratified are frequent, yet they are considered legally groundless by courts and the IRS. The amendment granting Congress the power to collect income tax without apportionment was certified on February 3, 1913. Despite arguments regarding errors in state ratification, the Supreme Court and others courts have consistently rejected these claims. Consistently? Have you ever heard of Joe Bannister? Joe Bannister was a former IRS agent turned tax protester, was acquitted of federal tax fraud and conspiracy charges in June 2005. Despite claiming the income tax is a hoax and advising clients against filing returns, a jury found he lacked the intent to defraud. However, he was later disbarred from IRS practice. He was the first one, the first IRS agent to go against the income tax. And if you know anything about an amendment, supposedly a proposed amendment that is not ratified is not a law. It does not become part of the U.S. Constitution under Article 5. An amendment requires approval by 2/3 of Congress and ratification by 3/4 of the states, 38 out of 50. Now, when I told you 7, that's at 43. Now, when I read the AI information, it kept saying other states, but it wouldn't mention the other states. So you would only need to drop to 38 or maybe less. So maybe it's 10 more states out there that they haven't mentioned that haven't completed the ratification process or have denied it. No law or amendment requires ratification such as a constitutional amendment or treaty and is not ratified. If a law or amendment requires ratification such as a constitutional amendment or treaty and is not ratified, it is not legally binding. It does not become law. Ratification is the formal final consent that makes a legal action effective. So how can they enforce the income tax if it has not been ratified? How can a former IRS agent turned tax protester was able to be acquitted? Now, there was another woman, a black woman. Her name was Sherry Peel Jackson. She was a former IRS agent and CPA and was convicted of 4 counts of willingly failing to file tax returns and sentenced to 4 years in federal prison. Lost her marriage, lost everything. She's known as a tax defier who promoted fringe arguments. Fringe. They always use this fringe when it comes to us. Arguments that income taxes are optional saw her conviction and sentence affirmed by the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. Now, she says the reason why she got caught is because she did a lot of videos. If you look up her and look up Joe Bannister doesn't have a lot of videos. But what she says is that Joe Bannister was saying, I'm not telling you what to do. You could pay or you don't pay. I'm just giving you the information, just like I'm giving you the information. I'm not telling you not to file for income taxes, your income tax. I'm just giving you the information. That was what Joe Bannister was able to get away with. When it came to Sherry Peel Jackson, she was outright saying that y'all scared to buck the IRS. That's what she's saying. She's saying y'all scared to buck the IRS. So she's saying, I'm not scared to buck the IRS. She said, there's nowhere in the amendment that says that the income tax was ratified. And she did a lot of videos and a lot of speeches talking about how the income tax isn't right, isn't credible. And they made an example out of her. And you have to imagine this is thought, she went through this also in the time of curses. Now, would she come back and do this now and get away with it? She probably could. But the fact she did this while we, as the nation of Yasharel, are in curses, she wouldn't have succeeded. It would have been hard for her to succeed because she did this between 2007 and 2008. We were still in curses. We didn't start getting waking up until 2019. So she was 10 years too early. But she's out and she's still speaking. She's still speaking against income tax. Now I don't know if they can keep coming after her. But she's still speaking. And she said that she wasn't allowed to use some of the videos or some of the evidence that's saying that you could do whatever you want. She wasn't allowed to bring that in there. The judge told her no. She couldn't bring that video in there that got the other guy off, that went ahead of her. So they figured out, okay, we'll close that loop. We won't allow you to bring in information. So it made it seem like you were willingly trying to defraud the United States government by teaching and telling others not to pay income tax. So what set Joe Bannister free actually imprisoned her. But this is the game we play. So you wonder why all these... It could be the reason why all these billionaires stay billionaires and why these rich people stay rich and we still beating at the door talking about, oh, make them pay their fair share of taxes. It's because they probably aren't paying income tax because they probably already know that the 16th Amendment was never ratified into law. That the reason why we're doing it out of fear of the government, out of fear of the IRS, out of fear of being in court. There was a lawyer, I think his name was Crier, Tom Crier or John Crier, his name is Crier, you need to look him up. He was acquitted by a U.S. District Court jury of failure to file income tax. Prosecutors claim that Crier didn't pay $73,000 of income tax for taxable years 2000 and 2001. Crier created a trust to shelter his income and claimed that he did not need to report income paid to the trust. So, it can't be done, but guarantee if you black, you better have all your ducks in a row. But it can be done. Now, if they said it was ironclad, then these guys wouldn't have gotten off. And I'm pretty sure there's other people who aren't paying and are just waiting for to see what the court's going to do. But this is the reason why Trump brought that up. He knows that the people are smart enough to know how this system works and how the laws work, that they think they're going to get something by getting these high tariffs that's going to cause a law or the amendment that was never ratified to be done away with. So it makes it seem like that's a big win. It's not a win. So when they get you on not paying income taxes and choosing to be tariffs, that means you're going to still be paying a tax. The income tax money that you spend or when you file, you would have to pay almost that amount when these tariffs go through. That's why they keep pushing for these tariffs to be higher for 10%, 15%, 20%, 30%, 40%. And I'm wondering if they're going to get to 33% of these tariffs because putting tariffs on other countries and other goods, being a consumer country, we're going to be paying insane amounts for goods and services. So you might as well just be paying income tax then and not have Trump getting people to pay tariffs. It's going to come out of your check either or, is what I'm saying. It don't matter what you do. Either you're smart enough to know the system or you just get caught in the wash out of fear and then pay income tax and then pay the consequences of having high tariffs. It's going to suck for those who, you know, I'm good to a degree because I have great backup. Some of y'all don't have great backup and you have kids, little ones, and you know, college, high school, like you have a lot of kids. And I'm telling you, when resources and those tariffs go up, they know exactly where to hit you. Now, if they're trying to sterilize you and trying to get you to not be married, trying to get you to not have children, and trying to move you into a smart city, they would hit goods and services where you would need certain resources to build a family. So they know they're going to get you in food. They'd rather have you buy Beyond Meat and all that chemical-induced food that'll sterilize you anyway. Or they'll raise baby products where you can't get anything you want. And you have to think like, okay, they're going to sell us poison to our child. And then they'll sterilize the child or cause the child to be autistic with the chemicals that they have for you that are cheaper. So I'm just saying, and just this is just here. Just imagine if you go somewhere and you have to live off the land, then you have to live off the land through seasons. And some of you are not equipped to be farmers or gardeners. This is why we need to rely on the Most High heavily. We need to rely on him heavily. I know Yahushua wasn't the only one to turn water into wine, figuratively. Yahuwah turned water into fire and fire into water. You think what happened to the prophets and Baal in 1 Kings chapter 18 was the only time the Most High brought fire to burn up water? Nope. He's done this in 2 Maccabees chapter 1 too. But I'll go through 1 Kings chapter 18 for those who aren't familiar with the story. Eliyahu took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Yaakov, unto whom the word of Yahuwah came, saying, Yasharel shall be your name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of Yahuwah, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. So here we are, the Levites, building an altar for Yahuwah, which is just stones. So he took 12 stones. Were they big stones? It would probably be a decent amount of decent size of stones. There was no, he had to pick whatever was around him. We got rock quarries. We have garden stores that sell rocks. It's really no excuse. It's none, really. I guarantee you, if you Googled a garden store, I guarantee you they got rocks. And I guarantee you don't have to drive 4 to 5 hours to go get some rocks. I know this. If you truly wanted to build an altar to Yahuwah, I'm just simply saying this is them doing it and being successful. Do what you want. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of Yahuwah, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the sending smoke sacrifice and on the wood. So he drenched the sacrifice and the wood with water. And he said, do it the second time. So he dumped another bucket of water on the sacrifice and on the wood. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Eliyahu, the prophet, came near and said, Yahuwah Elohai of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yasharel, let it be known this day that you are Yahuwah and Yasharel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Yahuwah, hear me, that this people may know that you are Yahuwah Elohim, and that you have turned their heart back again. Then the fire of Yahuwah fell and consumed the ascending smoke sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Only Yahuwah can do this. You know how difficult it was when you do an ascending smoke sacrifice and it's caused for you to pour wine mingled with oil and flour on your meat, that the wine goes into the wood. Sometimes I had to use little fire starters after I have already done it, because before I used to drench the wood and it was painful to try to keep lighting the wood because it wouldn't light because the wine had soaked the wood. But Yahuwah can burn up a sacrifice or offering drenched in 3 buckets of water. So let's go to 2 Maccabees chapter 1 verse 18 through 22. Therefore, whereas we are now purposed to keep the purification of the temple upon the 5th and 20th day of the month of Kislev, we thought it necessary to certify you thereof, that ye also might keep it as the feast of Hanukkah and of the fire, which was given us when Nechemyahu offered sacrifice, after that he had built the temple and the altar. For when our fathers were led into Persia, the priests that were then devout took the fire of the altar privately and hid it in a hollow place of a pit without water, where they kept it for sure, so that the place was unknown to all men. Now after many years, when it pleased Elohim, Nechemyahu, being sent from the king of Persia, did send of the posterity of those priests that had hid it to the fire, but when they told us, they found no fire, but thick water. So Yah, hiding the fire, turned it into water. Then commanded he them to draw it up and to bring it. And when the sacrifices were laid on, Nechemyahu commanded the priests to sprinkle the wood and the things laid up thereupon with the water. So again, we're drenching what was hid. What used to be fire is now water. They're pouring it on the wood and on the sacrifice. When this was done, and the time came that the sun shone, which afore was hid in the cloud, there was a great fire kindled, so that every man marveled. That's when they knew it was time to rebuild the temple and the altar, and they got confirmation by Yah, by him turning the water into fire. This is who we serve, or this is who we're supposed to be serving, without question. And to leave you with this, we have been in religions and doing our own way for most of our life. And some of us have been in church all our lives, and yet we have not understood the verse of Joshua 10. I mean, the chapter of Joshua 10, verses 12 through 14. We have not truly understood it. I don't know if we've read it when we were younger. Maybe we were kept away from it through spiritual blindness. But the fact that it's been in the Bible for thousands of years, and we are supposed to be loving the Most High Yahuwah, and at that time we were talking about we worshiping Jesus Christ, yet we believe through the indoctrination of our public school system that we are in a spinning ball, we're on a spinning ball, and that the moon circles us while we also circle this solar system, and the sun stays still while we circle it. But yet we were supposed to love God Almighty and have the wisdom and understanding because we read scripture or are in religion. This is how I know the religions don't have no real smarts. Because Joshua chapter 10, verse 12 says, then spoke Yahusha to Yahuwah in the day when Yahuwah delivered up the Amorites before the children of Yashareel. And he said, in the sight of Yashareel, sun, stand still upon Gibeon, and you, moon, in the valley of Aiyon. Now, Gibeon is where the hailstones were thrown down to defeat the Amorites. You can easily Google Gibeon, and it's in Southeast Africa. If you look up the Gibeon meteorites, they'll tell you that it was these stones that fell from space millions and millions of years ago. But these stones were only found in Gibeon. And we know we're in a closed system. We know there's a firmament above us. So where did these stones come from? This is the biblical story that has been there since the beginning, since the time of that event. They even have a place where you can see these stones, like a museum of these stones that fell, that the Most High hurled at the Amorites. But anyway, back to the stories. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. The sun stood still and the moon stayed. It didn't say, if the sun stood still and the moon stayed, because we believe that we were on a spinning ball, it would still look like the sun would be moving and the moon would be moving because we would be rotating. Right? They would be rotating almost, so the moon and sun would still look like or appear it was moving. If the sun and the moon stood still, that means the sun and moon is within this system, this closed system, and the earth is stationary, that is not spinning on a ball, moving through the solar system. But we believed through the indoctrination, not through the Ruach HaKodesh, but the indoctrination, that we're on a spinning ball. that we're circling the sun and the moon is circling while we are circling the solar system. We believe that, regardless if we saw this verse or not. And another one that says, is not this written in the Sefer of Yasher? The sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hastened not to come about a whole day. A whole day, the sun and moon didn't move. It would definitely look like it would move if we were on this spinning ball. Now, when it says, is it not written in the Sefer of Yasher? If you look at the 66 book canon that the Roman Catholic Church gave you in King James, there is no book of Yasher in King James. But it's mentioned in the book of Yasher in the Apocrypha or the Sefer. Yasher 88, verses 64, 65. And Yahuwah hearkened to the voice of Yahusha, and the sun stood still in the midst of the heavens, and it stood still 6:30 moments. And the moon also stood still and hastened not to go down a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that Yahuwah hearkened to the voice of a man, for Yahuwah fought for Yasharel. So, who has the ability to change the luminaries or change the laws of the luminaries? The Most High Yahuwah. Now, who out here changing the times and laws and statutes of the moon and the calendar just to make 364 days? Man. So y'all trying to actually fix what the Most High has done. You take that information however you will.